listening to Book Nerds.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Patio Books Podcast. It's going to be your show about audiobooks. Maybe once in a while we'll throw some podcasts in there for something like that and some other stuff, but basically it's just audio listening podcast, what we like to listen to, how we listen to it, what we thought of the books, reviews, and yes, even spoiler alerts. So we hope you guys will enjoy the show as we kick it off here. I am going to be one of your hosts, Tracy Holtz, otherwise known as Holster to a lot of you out there. And I have a co-host here with me. It will pretty much be regular me and him. And before I introduce my co-host, I would like to say, if you are interested in being on this show, just email me at tracy@podnuts.com and tell me you're interested in being on the show. And next time we get together and record, we will invite you to get on and we'll let you know what to listen to before you get on the show. But now let's get to my co-host. He is the one, the only, and I'm one of the people that can proudly say he is a true friend, Mr. Jonathan Nadeau. How are you doing today, Jonathan?
Greetings. Thanks, Tracy. I appreciate that. Not too many people want to call me the friend.
Well, I say that in public, but in privately, you know, well, yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us on this podcast. We've been looking forward to getting this out there and getting this rolling. So I'm really excited about this. I'm Jonathan Nadeau. I'm a blind technologist and enthusiast of open source software. And somewhat recently, in the past year or two, I've really been getting into reading books. And so we want to talk about all the books that we read. And there's a lot of great stuff out there. So we'd just like to bring it to your attention. And again, thanks for listening. And there'll probably be some way of reaching me at some point if you want to get a hold of me. So that'll come soon. So Tracy, why do you like listening to audiobooks, and what do you like about it?
I'm going to get into that question in 1 second, but I am going to ask you a question, and it won't be a surprise, and it won't be an insult to the other people in case you're like, oh, Tracy asked Jonathan what? I asked him this before, and it takes quite a bit to get Jonathan upset, but you are blind, and for definitions of people, because I know some people are going to want to think this, when you listen to an audiobook, do you say, I know the answer to this, like I said, but I want you to tell everybody, do you say I listened to a book, or do you say I read a book?
I say read. I think even if I could see, I would still say read, because in some weird sense, you're still reading the book, or at least it's being read to you, even if you yourself aren't reading it. That's my take on it.
Exactly. Even though I am not, quote, reading the book, I'm just listening to, and I can see, and I can read the book, I say the same thing, too. So I just wanted to throw that out there in case somebody said reading the book and everything like that. If we say reading the book, there might be a couple circumstances where I read the book instead of listening to the audiobook, but very, very few circumstances. And I'll get back to the question about why I listen to audiobooks. My whole life, I was really never a big book fan. I am 45 years old, and when I was in grade school, you know, back in the 70s, I didn't find out until I was in my mid-20s, I actually have dyslexia. No clue. When I was growing up, I just wasn't applying myself, everybody said. So to me, reading and writing was always just horrible. I hated it, everything to do with it. And it was kind of funny. My best friend all the way through grade school, junior high, high school, he was my best man at my wedding. He had the exact same thing, and he didn't find out till like a year after me, because when I had it, he went in for testing, and he had it too. And he was wondering about that, because we were smart, you know, we were good in math, we weren't applying ourselves. Now that's a whole different story, applying yourself and not doing good. So he tested, and he did too. So realistically, the only books I read growing up was what I had to for schools, because when I read, it's a really slow process. I have a hard time, and I generally start falling asleep. Reversely, when I listen to an audiobook, I can still remember the first audiobook I listened to. I was driving back. I live in Texas, and I was going back to North Dakota, and this was probably in 2004. I was driving back, and I got so into the book, I was stopping in Kansas to spend the night, and I actually spent 2 hours in my car in the parking lot so I could finish listening to the book. That's when I really got into audiobooks. And I said, right then I was like, I really wish I was a faster reader, because I knew I would have enjoyed some of this stuff growing up. So for me, listening to audiobooks is, it's faster for me, especially now that I'm up to, thanks for Jonathan for pushing me to do this. I listen to 2x the speed. I try 3. It's a little fast for me right now. The program I use goes, you know, 1, 1.5, 2, then to 3. If I'd had 2.5, I think I'd be okay. But I think one more book and I'd probably be up to 3x the speed. So right now at 2x the speed, I'm listening to a book in half the normal time. So I can knock it out pretty quick. And to me, it's just the same cliches you always hear people talking about books. You know, you're in a different reality for a while. And that's exactly what these books come into. And before I really got into audiobooks, my whole life, I've always been into the old time radio shows, the old, you know, the old shadows, X-1. If you've never listened to X-1, if you go to archive.org, they're all out there. You can download. Unbelievable sci-fi show. Matter of fact, a lot of the shows and movies and TVs you see now are actually from old episodes from X-1. And Dimension X is another one that's kind of a spinoff. And if you listen to some of them, they'll sound familiar because all the shows nowadays. So it wasn't a big jump for me going from a old-time radio show to an audio book for entertainment. So that's why I listen to everything. Besides the obvious, Jonathan, about being blind, why do you listen to books?
Oh, forget it. You just took it all right there. But one, obviously, as well, I guess I don't have to. There's Braille, but that's a whole nother podcast. But so I listen to audiobooks because I guess I sort of have to. But I don't know what made me want to start listening to books. Recently, in the past few years, I really started listening to a lot of books. I can't exactly pinpoint what triggered that, but once I started listening to books, I just started getting, you know, into them so much. Like, especially somewhat recently when we were talking about starting this up, I started mowing through a book a day. Cause like Tracy, I speed my stuff up too, but I listen to my stuff at 4x. So, you know, if a book takes, you know, 4 hours, I can listen to it in 1 hour. So I can really chop down the time on a lot of these books, and I can cover a lot of ground listening to all the content. And even, you know, and a lot of people might be like, oh, 4x, you can't, you know, you must not even remember anything. But when you're listening to it at that kind of speed, it does something to your brain, and it forces you to focus, and your mind can't wander because your mind is going to miss what you're listening to. If you're listening to something at normal speed, you'll start to daydream, and your mind will wander. You'll be like, oh, I need to pick this up at the store later. But when you're listening to it faster, you stay much more focused, and you actually retain a lot more too, because you're being so focused on what you're listening to. So there's a lot of benefits at listening to it faster, not just because you can listen to more, but you actually do retain a lot of what you hear. So it's a great thing. Another thing that I love about books too, and, you know, again, obviously because I'm blind, I mean, I do, you know, watch TV or movies and stuff, but I just love books because I can picture the scenes and the characters in my mind so much more than if I'm watching a movie or TV show. If I'm watching a TV show, I'll kind of build my own imaginary what it looks like or what a person might look like. And it could totally not look like what I'm picturing in my head. But in a book, it guides me and it helps my image of creating these pictures in my mind. So that's why I love books, the detail of them. Like, you know, for an example, I mow through all the C.S. Lewis stuff almost every year. And my son wanted to watch The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. So I was like, yeah, let's watch it. I read that book quite a few times. And we're watching the movie. I was like, man, you know, and of course it's everyone says this too, but the movie was nothing like the book at all. Like, there were so many details the movie skipped, and I was just like, man, they didn't do that book any justice at all. And, you know, I just love, you know, listening to books, reading books, and, I really think that, you know, especially this day and age too, that you're gonna find so many more good books than you will, I think, TV shows, in my opinion. It's a much better way to spend your time.
You got that right. Most stuff TV today is, if it's not a reality show, it's just kind of rehashing stuff that's already been on. It's you were talking about reading everything. Now, a question for you. Can you read Braille?
Yeah, no, I mean, I started learning Braille, because I lost my, for people that don't know, I am blind, but I wasn't born blind. I got in a pretty bad car accident when I was 14, so I was a freshman in high school, and so I started learning Braille the second half of the year, freshman in high school, and it was a hard pill to swallow a little bit, because it's like, I went from reading totally fine, you know, whatever, maybe a higher level than I should have been or whatever, but then you go back to, this is A, this is B, this is C, and you start, and they're like, great, now I can read at a first grade level, and and Braille too, in my opinion, being a person not born blind, I think Braille is just, it worked for back in the day, but it doesn't make sense now. I think it needs to be redone or something. It's just, it's not logical, I don't think, the way they do it, and it could be done better, but I don't think anyone cares enough to try and revamp the Braille system. So I, you know, I started reading in high school. I got up to like a third or fourth grade level, but then the wonders of technology came into play, and you know, 1995, 96, you started being able to scan books, so I could scan a paperback book and then have my computer read it to me. So it's like, all right, Braille's off the table, and then technology took over from there. I mean, if I can get anything in a digital format, I can have my computer read it to me. If I can't, I can scan it and have my computer read it to me. I could even take my Android phone, take a picture of it, and have it read it to me. So at this point, I don't want to say Braille's useless. It does have its spot in life, but it's becoming less and less relevant, I think, as a blind person to know how to read Braille.
Yeah, one thing I don't understand about Braille is, and with the Disability Act for the blind, there has to be stuff in Braille at certain places, and there's stuff that where Braille should not be, drive-through ATM. They have to put it on there. Yeah, enough said. In places like that and stuff like that, you'll see Braille. So I kind of understand what you're saying. I think some of our laws should be updated where instead of having to have to have Braille there, it could also be an audio where it talks to you, and that could pass for the Braille too. What's your opinion on that?
Oh yeah, I always make that joke too, the drive up ATM, like, oh, that's convenient, like a good thing I drove here on my own to use the ATM. But they actually, what they, the reason that is they, the ATM machines they put out, the ATMs that they put outside, they're just ones that are built for the inside. They just put them outside. So they don't differentiate, like, okay, this one's built for outside, let's put it outside. So the ones that have the Braille on it, they're meant to be inside where a blind person would be to use it. But it is funny, though, when you go to the drive-up and there's a Braille there. But, yeah, I mean, ATMs definitely, they need to have talking ones. Because when I go to Boston quite a bit, and I've, quite a few times, I'm with my friends, and we need to use the ATM, and it's a flat touchscreen. I'm like, okay, yeah, so if I didn't have my friends here with me, I basically would be, you know, stuck in Boston possibly because I couldn't get money out. I was like, you know, this day and age, it is not a hard thing to make an ATM talk. Like, it's trivial at this point, and it should easily, you know, be implemented, but no one probably wants to bother doing that.
Exactly. And the second point you made about why books are so much better than TV and movies, I'm about halfway through the series, and Jonathan just mowed through them since he can listen to them so fast, the Jack Reacher series. And last year, Jack Reacher, the movie came out, and I think that's book like 8 or 9 in the series. And if you saw the movie, it doesn't even hold a candle book. And what they did to his character kind of destroyed it for the whole book, with having, what's his name? Playing it, I forgot his name.
I didn't even know there was a movie, so that's all news to me.
Yeah, it was 8 or 9. This won't ruin any spoilers. It was the one about the, I'm not going to give any spoilers on it. The one where the sniper. Do you remember the long-range sniper killed a bunch of people?
Yep.
Yeah, that was the one. I think it was like book 8 or 9 or something like that. But obviously, they have to fit it in 2 hours, so they have to leave a lot of stuff out, and they left a lot out. If you were even remotely liked that movie, check out that series, the Jack Reacher series by Lee Childs. There's probably 17, 18, 19 right now.
Yeah, it's like 18 or 19.
And to me, out of all the books, first one is still the best. And that's going to be one of them we're going to review coming up here on a future podcast. So now that we got that, why we listen to it, Jonathan, what do you use to listen to your audiobooks?
Most of the time I use this, I have this device. It's called a Victor Reader Stream. It's like a device made for blind people. That's basically what it is. It's pretty cool. It's about, it's a little bit bigger. Well, I was going to say it's a little bit bigger than the cell phone, but not these days. It might be the size of like a Note 2 kind of phone, maybe slightly smaller. And it has buttons on it, almost like a telephone pad. So it has, you know, three buttons going across and three rows or four rows rather. And so all those buttons have different functionality. And on the Victor Reader Stream, not only can it play MP3 files, OGG files, but I can actually even put a text file in it, and it has a text-to-speech voice in it. It'll actually read a text file to me also, and I can also take audio notes with it. It's kind of a pretty nice tool to have as a blind person. But the reason why I love the Victor Reader is because it plays stuff so fast for me. That's how I can mow through stuff. Every now and then, I've been using my Android phone because I've been getting some stuff on Audible. It's fine. It works. You can speed it up on Audible, but nowhere near what I like to listen to stuff at. So if I can get stuff on my Victor Reader, like just, you know, a regular MP3 file or OGG file or whatever, I'll throw that on there and listen to it that way, because I can just listen to stuff so much faster on it. And, I love the speed on it. I haven't seen anything yet that can match the speed that I can get it up to. So that's why I love using that thing.
Question on your device. Can it read unencrypted, like, Mobi files or something like that?
I'm not sure. I've never tried sticking various types of formats in it. I know it definitely does, like, text files, but I've never tried putting anything else in there. I might do EPUB, but I'm not exactly sure what the limitations of it are.
Okay, that's going to be your assignment for at least episode 6 or 10, somewhere in there.
Okay. I know what I used to do for school, because I would get all my books in PDF format, and I would just convert it from PDF over to text, and I could read my books that way. But I never tried various formats, so I'm not sure what it can and can't do.
Yeah, I have screen readers for not really good ones, just like the free ones and the built-in ones for like websites, because sometimes, to be honest, there's a good article and I'm doing something in the room and I can't read it, so I'll start reading it off. So I understand exactly about where that comes in handy. For me, pretty much 90-95% of everything I listen to is in two programs, Audible or, and I am an Audible subscriber. It's the DRM, getting to that argument. Some people will, some people won't, but Audible, good prices. They got a good subscription model. They always have deals. Every 2-3 months, you can get some really good books at a really good price. And they will have books no one else will. So Audible, but on my phone, and I listen to it on my Android phone. But if I have the book in another format, there's a player on there that I like. It's called Maple Player. There's Maple Free and the paid. I use the paid. Maple Player is just a good all-around one. You can bookmark and everything like that, which makes it kind of handy. Speed stuff up and everything, so Maple Player. And once in a while, when I'm in the house working or something like that, I will listen to it on my Roku, and because I'll have it on the network share, all my stuff's backed up to a network share, so I can use the Roku media player and browse to it and just start playing it. It's not as convenient, because generally audiobooks are in a 2-3 big files, so I'll have to sit for a few minutes to speed up to wherever I'm at. That's another nice thing about the Maple Player and the Audible. It syncs where I'm at and pick up on different devices and everything like that. But the Roku, I kind of got to fast forward and everything, but not as convenient, but it's kind of nice when if I'm working around the house, if I'm cleaning or something like that, I can just continue listening to my book.
Yeah, with Audible, you know, like you said, you know, there's the whole DRM thing. Yeah, I've come to realize that you just got to pick and choose your battles and whatever, it's convenient. And, you know, like the other day I was listening to a podcast, they mentioned a book, and I was like, huh, that sounds cool. I just hopped on Audible and I saw it, and it was like $6, and I was like, guess I can't argue with that. So I just bought it.
Yeah, it's, would I like it to be free? Yes. But we live in the time right now where Just like music was a little about 10 years ago, the DRM, I think the books are coming around. Same with the movies, because they're understanding that it's really not stopping any of the pirating.
Yeah,
and it's going to be pirated. It's going to be pirated anyway.
Yeah, and one untapped resource I think a lot of people don't realize, which I've been utilizing the heck out of, and that's how I get all my books in MP3 format or AUG or whatever. Go to your local library. My library, there's a pretty cool system that they're on the statewide, so I can be like, hey, do you have book X on CD? And they'd be like, no, we don't, but library over here across the state does. And then I can just request it. They ship it from the other library to my local one. I can pick up the book and I listen to it. So you can listen. There's a ton of free audiobooks you could easily be listening to just by going to your library.
Yeah, I get a lot of mine from the library too. Ours also has a good feature. It has a login, and they have probably 200 to 400 books online. You can only check one out at a time online, but you can download the MP3 file. They're all in MP3, not AUG, but they're all in MP3 that you can just download the book. And when you're done with it, you uncheck it, then you can grab another one. So it's actually kind of nice where they have a bunch of books there. But yeah, they have the same thing where you can request them in different. The one I go to mostly, if you're in the North Texas area, is the McKinney Library. If you're in the area, there's two. There's the big one downtown and the smaller one. Go to the big one downtown. But they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of audiobooks. There is not a limit on the number you can check out, but there is a 3-week once you check it out. So when I usually go in, I will usually check out 10 or 15 books, come home, rip them all, and bring them all back a week or two later when I'm done ripping them. And then when I'm done with them, go back and get a few more.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. They don't put a limit on how many I could take out, but they put a limit on how many I can request at a time. So if I have to, I think I can only request up to 15 things. Once I get them in, once the request is in, then my request limit goes back up. But I could literally take out 30, 40, 50 books if I wanted to. But I can only request 15 at a time until they start coming in.
Yeah, that's a good resource. I forgot about the library. It's and that's probably where most of my audiobook collection came from, was from there. So that's what we use to listen to the audiobooks. Where do you listen to audiobooks at when you're, for you, Jonathan?
Anywhere and pretty much home all the time. So I pretty much, the majority of the day, I have an earbud in my ear and I'm listening to something. So whether it's, books, podcasts, whatever, I pretty much have an earbud in one of my ears 90% of the day. So I'm pretty much constantly listening to things. I prefer to listen to them as early in the morning as I can get up, because there's no children running and screaming around. It makes it a little bit easier to listen to stuff, but I pretty much just am constantly listening to stuff.
Yeah, for me, obviously, the big ones when you're driving, working out, walking or something like that. And for me, a lot of I used to have a computer store and I shut it down, and now I'm starting a small specialty farm. But when I'm working in the greenhouse, that's quite, during the most days, I'll throw it on there. And I have, DeWalt, I have a DeWalt radio battery charger. So on my workbench, I just put my phone next to it. It's got an audio in, so I just, an auxiliary, so I just plug it in and I just play it through that. So when I'm in my greenhouse, I can just like play it at will. That's the nice thing about having it on my phone everywhere, is I can listen to it there and then come inside and listen to it more. Have to run somewhere, after you shower and get ready, you can take off, you're in your car, you can just pick up right where you're at. So for me, I listen to it pretty much everywhere. And at nighttime, I probably listen to books more than I watch TV. If you know me more than 20 minutes, you'll know I'm a huge hockey fan. A lot of times if I have a book and it's really, really getting book, I'll put the hockey game on and mute the sound and I'll listen to an audiobook. I listen to more audiobooks than I do watch TV from this point.
Yeah, me too. Like I said, if I'm listening to an audiobook, I'm listening to a podcast. So I rarely watch any TV.
Yeah, it's. I think we talked about it earlier. TV's coming to the point where it's it's just getting bad, in my opinion. You know, yes, there's some good shows, yes, but realistically, if it wasn't for documentaries and sports, TV pretty much would be worthless for me.
Yeah, if it wasn't for sports, we wouldn't be watching too much TV. I mean, we just have an over the air antenna just so we can watch sports, but whatever we want to watch is on Hulu, Netflix, or Amazon, so we're good to go.
Exactly, yeah. We're cable cutters too. And speaking of cable cutting and listening and cable cutting, we'll talk about this real quick. Might not be audiobook, but it was just announced that DirecTV is going to have a subscription base. Did you hear about that?
Oh, no, but I heard ESPN was going to have a subscription that you could utilize over the internet.
Yeah, that's what it's through. I think it's through Dish Network. It's $20 a month. You will get the ESPN's Disney, TNT, TBS, Cooking Channel. There's a list. There's about 12, 15 channels you'll get for the $20 a month. So,
oh, wow. That's a lot more than I thought it was, because when I saw kind of like the headline of the article, I was like, oh, cool, ESPN, finally. And I was like, $20. I was like, I don't know, that might be a little steep for me to want to jump on that. But now that it's actually 12 or 15 channels or whatever, that's actually a lot more interesting.
Yeah, especially if you have kids with Disney.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's the one thing I hated about not having cable, is because I'm probably gonna get more into just watching college football soon. And I mean, yeah, it's college football on Saturdays, but all throughout the week on ESPN, there's always college football, and so I'm missing all those games.
Plus, don't forget you can replay games on the online ESPN. So,
oh, right, yeah.
Since there's 30 games every Saturday. Yeah, you might know the score, but you can see that was a good game, and that's what I'll generally do, is I'll go back and watch a game.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know where else to go from here, Tracy.
I think that's about it for this first episode. I want to thank everybody for listening to this first episode. For show two, if you want to listen to this book before you get this next week, it is, we are going to be talking about and reviewing a book called Ready Player One. And Ready Player One was written by Ernst Klein. It's a really good book, and this is one of those books, and I'm going to, very, very short, not going to talk about it, but this is one of the books that I think everybody that reads it likes it.
I listen to this book at least once a year, sometimes twice a year. It's good. It's awesome.
And if you're over 35, you like it even more.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we're going to be talking about next time. Any last words, Jonathan?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we appreciate it. Spread the word, and don't forget to visit podnuts.com/Amazon. Help out the Podnuts Network. We'd like to thank them for hosting this podcast, and so check out podnuts.com/Amazon.
Yes, thank you for saying that. And coming up here, if you have Audible or you want to want Audible, we are going to be getting an Audible account through Podnuts. So that way, if you want to get a free book and everything, wait a week until we can get you that information or two. And that way, you know, you can help support the show and everything. Or if you have one, you can go get the book. But you can also get the book right on Amazon.com. So thank you for everybody listening to the show. I hope everybody has a good week, good month, good year. And join us again next week. Have a great day, everybody.
See ya.